Now I want to introduce Helen. Helen is our kids and families pastor, and she's got an excellent word for us today. So I hope you grab your pens and your journals and get ready to write down some really great thoughts as she shares on her journey and some important parts of linking community with family.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Online Church. Thank you for joining me again this morning, and I'm so grateful that I get to share with you today as we've just finished up with Good Life on our community tenant, and we're about to head into our family tenant in a few weeks. I really feel privileged to be positioned to talk around community and family and how my approach to parenting has been so intentional to really see that community and family really go together. And that's why I love this cafe. This cafe has been part of the community for a while now and is centered here on the sunny coast, but it has become family to me. And I really love coming here and really feel like I belong here. And so I really, as part of my whole approach to parenting, and those of you who don't know, I have four beautiful children, aged 18 down to 12, three boys, one girl. But I also oversee a whole heap of children in our children's ministry. And also I have the beautiful privilege of having a group of young adults who allow me to walk with them in their journey and who have come to know me as Mama Helen. And I really feel honored that they have invited me into that space. And it's been a journey with them and a privilege to journey with them. And so I really see that family is all about different layers, and it's all around who you invite into that space. And so when James and I, as we were leading in senior ministry over in another church, we really took the approach that our family was a place where we invited people into our home, and especially around with our children, who if they had families that were struggling, or they had issues with their parenting breakdowns, we wanted to give them a place where they felt safe and that they felt welcome and that they could have a healthy family modeled to them. And so that they knew that their frame of reference at home of what family is isn't the only frame of reference of what family is. And so I so believe that that's an important part of what we are called to do as the family of God. And so I really wanted to say that really part of my whole parenting journey has been intentional posture. And I'm going to talk more around my four really key points around what I believe us as the church and how we approach the new generation and the next generation and the generations after that, and intentionally posture ourselves as the church and as a church family, but also how we posture ourselves as parents and how we intentionally posture ourselves as parents. I want to share a picture with you right now of a picture of my daughter, Joanna. And there is more behind this story than what you would imagine. But this picture brings joy to me because it is a picture not just of something that Joanna was able to overcome, and a picture of how beautiful she is in her dancing, but it's also a picture of how we have approached our children and our intentional posture towards parenting. And Joanna is going to share her story with you now.
My name's Jo, and my family's connected here, and I help out with the booth on a Friday afternoon. I dance, and I love like the competition side of it. And even though it can be quite scary, I love like the adrenaline that comes from it, and it's super fun performing on stage. I really struggle with anxiety, and it was a big, really big part of my life for the last few years, and took a toll on me a bit, and it was quite hard for me growing up with it. It's been hard to manage, and just trying to get through it and know that like I'm not alone. Even with dance, like right before I'm about to go on stage, if I get super anxious, I'm like, do I even want to do this? Like, can I just pull out now? It's definitely been a really big challenge for me, and my mind has definitely battled with it a lot. Choosing like to go through it and just try and push through and stay strong, or if I should just like back off and just like let it win. And I lost a lot of confidence and everything. Obviously, like a lot of different people get anxiety in different ways. Mine mostly happens at night, right before I'm about to go to bed. I get this really shaken up feeling in my stomach, and I know that I don't feel safe. And I just get like really shaky, and I can't really control my breathing, and I like start getting super scared, and I start stressing over like the smallest little things and just overthinking about everything. And at night, when I struggled sleeping in just plain silence, my mind would then hear like the tiny little creaks in the wall, and all of a sudden I thought someone was gonna like come bash down like the house or something. So I either have to sleep with my fan on, so it kind of just, you just hear like the fan, or lately I've been starting to listen to worship music as I fall asleep, and that has really helped me. I also find that I fall asleep a lot quicker with like the worship music. And also just like my controlled breathing. Like when I start panicking and I start like not being able to have like my controlled breath, like breathing in for four, holding for four, and breathing out for four is like the technique that I use. And that I find really helpful, especially like at school when I can't really go listen off to music, that I kind of just sit there and take some time for myself to calm myself down. I was like scared to tell mum and dad about it, because I had never felt this feeling before, and I thought I'd be able to overcome it myself. And yeah, talking to other people about it is so scary for me. Just being able to, like, people to know that I'm struggling is kind of like, because people do see me as like happy and out there, just know that they're like, that I'm struggling. I was always scared that they would have a different opinion about me. But definitely, like, when I would come out to mum and dad crying, and I told them what was up, they were so helpful, and they really helped to calm me down, and they would sit there with me until we had calmed me down, and that would be really helpful before I went to bed. And a lot of my super close friends that I like, once I get to know them well and I open up about it to them, they're so helpful and they're super understanding, and it's not the outcome that my brain kept telling me would happen, it was the opposite, and they were super understanding and caring about it. I know for me, I kind of tried to keep it to myself, thinking that I could fight the battle by myself. But definitely if you talk to people about it, it helps so much. Just having those people behind you to support you, it's a lot more comforting, and you feel a lot more safer, and you don't feel like you're alone. And I noticed as I started talking to people more about it and they started caring about me more, it kind of, my anxiety kind of backed off and eased up, because it wasn't more in my mind, it was just like the feeling that I was getting. So yeah, definitely talking to people about it and the controlled breathing were definitely like my big tips. I do know that it is also quite overwhelming for people with anxiety if you just kind of bombard them and are always like, are you okay, are you okay? Like, also give them time to like breathe and think about it themselves. Persisting to them that you are there for them and that they're not alone was definitely just always constantly having like my mum's voice in the back of my head, that she was there for me, and like knowing that if I ever needed to, my dad was there for me for cuddles or to just hold me through the night. Like, it's definitely a lot more comforting just knowing that there was people there for you. Having that thought in my head that if I got through this, the people that would be so like there for me and so proud of me for overcoming like my anxious thoughts right before I went on stage, and just going out there and having fun and just dancing my best. It wasn't about if I placed, even though like that's like such a big thing against competition is, or I didn't get first, I'm not good. It was more like knowing that as long as I danced my best and I was happy with how I was, everyone else would be just as proud as me, and they were always there to support me. They weren't there to see if I got first or second or third. Like, they were just there for me, and no matter what result I got. And that definitely was what pushed me through, knowing that I needed to go out there and make them proud.
So you see why I'm so incredibly proud of that girl. But one of the things that she didn't share with you that I want to share with you around that picture that I showed you before was the story that happened that day of that concert. Joanna had been preparing a brand new dance, a solo, and she had been quite nervous and anxious around it in the lead up to the concert. And what happened that day when she was called onto stage was she positioned herself, and then the music started and she took one step and then she ran off stage. And my heart broke as a mum, because I knew right then that her anxiety had been the loudest voice to her in that moment. And so, although I was hurting right now because I could not go and be with her, I knew that the one who is within her was with her and could be the strongest voice for her if she lent into him and she could feel his presence. And so I started praying. And I started praying intentionally, and intentionally postured myself in the middle of that auditorium and started praying for my girl. I didn't know where she was. I knew she was backstage. I ended up finding out that she had completely burst into tears. And then what she did was she went and she calmed herself down, and she did everything that she told you that she does. She did her breathing and she started praying. And 4 to 5 dances later, Joanna came back on stage and she danced that solo. And so that picture of her mid-leap is not just a beautiful picture of her with her, the strength of that leap and how gorgeous she looks, but for me, it is an image of how she has overcome so much and how we as parents have intentionally walked that journey and postured ourselves. And I want to share with you how we as family and as a church family, what I believe is so critical for us right now as the church, as we speak into the next generation, that we have always intentionally tried to do, and we haven't always been great at it, but intentionally postured ourselves towards modeling our own walk with Jesus to our children. And so we have intentionally postured our hearts towards Jesus. We have intentionally been disciplined in making sure that we walk the talk, and that we will consistently pray with our children, and we will model doing devotions with them. That we will, when they're walking out the door and they've got an exam, that we'll pray over them. That when we know that they've had a tough time, when Joanna's experiencing her anxiety, when my boys are struggling with some of the things that they go through, that we sit with them and we pray with them and we ask them how they're going with their walk with Jesus. And one of the things that we know around research is that how a child learns, first and foremost, is via modeling from their parents. And so as a church family and as parents, it is critical that we model a heart postured intentionally towards Jesus. Because I know that prayer is the number one thing and the best gift I could give my child. And yes, you might say, well, unconditional love is the best gift I could give my child. well, I can't unconditionally love my child without fully leaning into prayer to have Jesus' love poured into me. I have so many flaws within me, so many biases, so many things that I use as my frame of reference. And so to use Jesus' frame of reference for love for my child, I need to be leaning into him and praying first and foremost for them and with them. And so that is one of the key things that I wanted to share. But also, we have been so intentional around posturing ourselves and our hearts towards the church. We have been very careful as parents, and James and I have been in senior leadership in the church for 14 years of our marriage, and we have been in leadership in other areas for the other six. And I'll tell you something that we have really intentionally postured our hearts towards is, and our conversation at home is, to never ever negatively talk about and criticize the church. We of course have been hurt and been betrayed, and we have made mistakes, and other people have hurt us, but that has always been kept between me and my husband, because I don't want my children's frame of reference for the church to be my frame of reference and my experiences. The church is the bride of Christ, and in all her beauty and flaws, she is going to stand until the end of time. And we know that she is the hope of the church, hope of the world. And because of that, and because of that faith that I have in the church, that, and my husband James has in the church, that we want our children to know what it is like to grow up, to serve and to love the church, and to experience the church from their point of view, from their own walk, from their own experiences, and not to ever experience the church from our own experiences, because they don't understand it. And so when we intentionally posture our hearts towards Jesus and our hearts towards the church, then that is the one of the best ways we can set up a firm foundation for our children and for the next generation. The second thought I wanted to share with you today is actually based around a lot of my PhD research, but it's also definitely how my husband James and I have intentionally postured ourselves towards our children, but also to the younger generation. And that is an intentional posture of attentive listening to respond and not react. My PhD research is all around cognitive empathy, which we know is perspective taking. And what we know is really important around perspective taking in families is that it is a key predictor of positive conflict resolution in families. And that's the reason is because people are taking time, families are taking time to turn and to listen and to try to understand the other person. And it's not just about listening to them, but it's actually understanding that that person has different thoughts, different values, different beliefs, different and inner makeup than us. And as parents, we often use, especially when we're unsure about what's going on and why our children are the way that they are or why they want to do something, we often use our own frame of reference. And then we react and we don't respond. One of the things that we need to remember about the next generation and about our children is that they are uniquely designed by God. And so they are not us. Their experiences are not the same as us. Their thoughts are not the same as ours. And so to stop and to listen and to try and understand the world from their perspective, the world they're growing up is so different to ours. And it's only a generation different, or two or three, depending if you're looking at grandchildren, but it's definitely different and they see the world differently. And I want to learn from that. I want to be able to respond to my children and not react. And I'm not always great at doing it. Emotionally, I get tired and then things come out and I do react. And I'm definitely, my children call me on it all the time. But one of my hearts is always to, one of the things that is that I always try to intentionally posture my heart towards an attentive, listening heart towards my children. And it's when we react to our children, it comes from an emotive place, a defensive place. It comes very much out of fear and uncertainty and wanting to control. But when we stop to respond through listening and understanding, then responding comes from a considered place. And it shows our children that we're listening to them, that they're important and they're valuable, and that they actually have a voice. And then that secures them to feel courageous enough to then share their voice with others. And it also models to them the importance of turning and showing attentive listening to others and to respond to them and not react to them. So I really want to encourage you that not just as parents and grandparents, but even as a church family, for us to turn to each other and to, with an intentional posture of attentive listening to understand, so that we can respond to each other and not react to each other. The third point I wanted to share with you today was the importance of community. I have definitely, over the last few years, seen the importance of inviting community into my family and the importance of leaning into each other. You know, my husband James was posted to Darwin for 2 years. And for 6 months of that 2 years was during COVID. And so we didn't see him for a long, long time. And my boys needed a father figure in some of the during some of the trials that they went through, some of the feelings and emotions that they were experiencing, even just a positive role model that was not me. And I knew that for me to lean in to other people was critical. And I will be forever grateful for the people who I came alongside and said, hey, my boy needs you, would you mind checking in with him? Could you take him for coffee? Could you take him fishing? Could you just check in with him and see how he's going? He's not okay and he needs somebody that's not me. And for a person who actually likes to be very independent, that's a place of vulnerability that I am not always great at being in. To turn and to ask for help is not always something I'm really great at. And I discovered that the importance of community for me was just as important as me being community to others. You see, for a long, long time, I always believed in helping others, caring for others, being there for others. And in the last couple of years, I have learned the value of placing myself in a vulnerable position where I turn to somebody and say, I need you and I need help. And that then gives them permission to not only come into our family and our journey, but it also enables them to be vulnerable with you. And yes, it can be a bit of a scary place, because when you invite somebody into your world, that's allowing them to see the mess. And there were times where things were messy. And that was a place that I had to be in and allow people to be vulnerable and allow myself to be vulnerable. But the richness that has come for my family by me asking for help and intentionally posturing myself to a heart of not just community and me being community to others, but inviting others to be community to me and inviting them into our family. And so I really want to encourage you that today, as a church family, that we know the importance of being vulnerable to invite people into our mess and to then enable and be available for ourselves to be entered and to go into other people's mess, because that is family. That is community. We are messy, but we can be stronger when we lean in together. And I am so grateful for the community of people who have gathered around my children. And you saw that Joanna said that she had so many people who she could lean into who had walked the journey that she had walked. I have never walked the journey of anxiety. I couldn't help Joanna the way that other people could. I could be there for her. I could listen to her. I could show attentive listening and understanding, but I could not. I've never walked the journey that she has walked. And so to invite somebody into her life who has walked that journey was critical for Jo to feel like she was not the only one experiencing what she was experiencing. This last fourth point, I believe, is critical for us as parents, as church family, and as a church community, as we look to the next generation. And my question is, how are we intentionally posturing our children? How are we intentionally posturing the next generation? What are we focusing on that lies within them that will set them up to be secure for what lies ahead of them? You see, there is a very strong voice of parents and educators and policy makers and researchers at the moment who are extremely worried about the world that our children are growing up in right now. And it is a loud voice. It is one around pandemics and mental illness and poor education and poverty and wars, and it is a voice of fear. It's a very strong and loud voice. And it is one that we as parents seem to be echoing. And it is one that our children are hearing us echo. And it is not the voice that we have been called to echo as the children of God. The voice that we have been called to echo is one where we faithfully call out the divine resources that God has deposited into our children to set them up and secure them for what lies ahead of them. God is not scratching his head, wondering what on earth he's going to do about the next generation. God is not sitting there fearful for our next generation, and he is not wondering how on earth he is going to help and guide them through it. He has a plan, he has a purpose for them. And we as the family of God are called to echo his voice, one that is so strong over and above the voice of fear, where our children know that they are called and that they have been knit together before they were born, that God knew them before they were born. They were knit together in their mother's womb. That God's thoughts for them are higher, God's ways are higher, and that he has a purpose and a plan for them. That he has deposited divine resources within each unique child, and that he is calling out the next generation out of darkness into his marvelous light, just as he has done for each generation beforehand. God will and continue to call out the next generation out of darkness and into his light, and to set them forth to be the kingdom of God on here on earth. And it is our responsibility as parents and as church family to be calling out what lies within our children and help them to see what their divine purpose is and what is so uniquely beautiful about them that God has deposited within them to secure them for what the challenges are that they are going to face and how to overcome them. That, yes, they will have to brace for turbulence. And yes, there are going to be challenges that they will have to face. But just like you saw Joanna in that beautiful picture where she was mid-leap, it was a picture of her overcoming her challenges. And that is why I love that picture, because it's not just a picture of her mid-leap, and it is a picture of Joanna overcoming her challenges. Because of how we have intentionally tried to posture her for what lay before her. And so as the church generation, as the church family for the next generation, we need to be calling out our beautiful children out of darkness into light and depositing within them a heart, a love for Jesus, for people, for the church, and so that they can be so beautifully, securely set up for what challenges they are going to face. God has a purpose for the next generation, and I'm excited for it. I really believe that they are called to model the kingdom of God within all the challenges that our world is facing right now. And so as we go into the next worship song, I really want us as a church community to really pray and intentionally posture the next generation through prayer and lifting them up before God so that they will hear the voice of the shepherd over and above every other voice, that they would know that they are his workmanship, that they are called to and set forth to bring light to the world and to be salt and light and to be a city on a hill, that they are the kingdom of God here on earth because they have Jesus who is within them, and he who is within them is stronger than he who is in the world. Let us pray any fears that we have, any concerns, any uncertainties, anything that we are really struggling with and worried about for the next generation, let's lift it up to God. And let's intentionally call out the promises that are within them and set them up securely to overcome the turbulence and the challenges that they face, so that they know that they are loved and that they are called, and they are a generation who will declare his works and his faithfulness to the end of time.